Have you enjoyed the summer so far? It has been very hot and very dry. And in a hot, dry summer like this, it's good to just take a moment to remember, you know, in recent years, there have been years when it's just rained and rained and rained. And we've looked out and we've said, you know, when will we be able to sit in the garden and so on? But this year has been very different. And I know that some of you will be hoping for a bit of rain next week. Light and water are so important to sustain life and agriculture. We cannot live without light and without water. And both light and water have been on the news a lot recently. So I thought today and next week we'd do two sermons on the subject of light and water. Today we will be looking at light, and next Sunday we plan to look at water. So are you ready? Yeah? Let's talk about light. The word appears throughout the Bible. Did you know that the word light appears in the very first chapter of the Bible, Genesis chapter 1, and it appears in the very last chapter of the Bible, Revelation chapter 22. Light is so important to the Bible narrative. Life is so important to the gospel message. Let's look at our next slide, please. I thought maybe it would be helpful for you just to know what's coming up in this sermon this morning. So first of all, we're going to look at light in the beginning. Then we'll move on to light for eternity. Then Jesus is the light. You are the light. Walk in the light. And finally, come into the light. So that's kind of the roadmap for where we're going this morning. Let's move to the next slide, please. Light at the beginning. So in the very first chapter of the Bible, the very first word we read, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. We shouldn't overlook those first two verses before we get to the verse about light. Because in the first two verses we see God created the building blocks of the universe. The atoms and the elements. You see reference to water in those opening verses, before God created light. God created all those things that you find on a periodic table. Has anyone looked at a periodic table in the last 10 years? Yeah? Yeah? Okay. Was that with Natasha? Just for yourself. Okay. God created all those things that you find on a periodic table, and it was just fine. There was nothing wrong with it. But it was formless and empty, and darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters, and it was just fine. It could have stayed like that forever. There was nothing wrong with it, but God had bigger plans. God had more amazing plans, which leads us to verse 3. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. The first specific thing that God created by the word of command was light. God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. Now, what was the light like? Well, to answer that question, look at verse 4, please. God saw that the light was good. God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. Now, what you have to understand is that God did not just create things such as light and trees and animals. He also created order and structure. And we see this on day one when he structured day and night. He separated the light from the darkness, and he called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. But here is a question. What causes night and day and seasons in our world today? What causes these things? They are caused by the fact that the world spins on its axis and orbits the sun. It's all to do with the position of the world in relation to the sun and to the moon. But you see, at the end of day one, God had not yet created the sun and the moon. And yet, God produced day and night. God created light before he created the sun and the moon, and God instituted day and night before he created the sun and the moon. And the sun and the moon were not created until the fourth day. Now, there was, of course, a lot of focus on the sun and the moon on Wednesday last week because there was an eclipse of the sun. And the sun and the moon affect light and darkness on the earth. But God created light on day one, long before he created the sun and the moon on day four. Let's read on now from verse 6. And God said, "Let there be a vault between the waters to separate water from water." So God made the vault and separated the water under the vault from the water above it. And it was so. God called the vault sky. And there was evening and there was morning, the second day. That was the second day in which God created more structure and order that we know of as sky. Now let's move on to the third day. And God said, "Let the water under the sky be gathered to one place, and let the dry land appear." And it was so. God called the dry ground land, and the gathered waters he called seas. And God saw that it was good. So here again we see more structure that we think of as land and sea. Let's move now on to verse 11. But remember, we are still on the third day. Then God said, "Let the land produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants and trees on the land that bear fruit with seed in it according to their various kinds." And it was so. The land produced vegetation, plants bearing seeds according to their kinds, and trees bearing fruit with seed in it according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good, and there was evening, and there was morning, the third day. Now, if any of you paid attention at school, you will know that plants and trees and vegetation, they all need light in order to grow. And God created plants and trees and vegetation on day three before he had created the sun and the moon. How was that possible? because he had already created light on day one. And now if we read on from verse 14, we will see God creating the sun and the moon and the stars. And God said, let there be lights in the vault of the sky to separate the day from the night, and let them serve as signs to mark sacred times and days and years, and let them be lights in the vault of the sky to give light on the earth. And it was so. God made two great lights, the greater light to govern the day and the lesser light to govern the night. He also made the stars. God set them in the vault of the sky to give light on the earth, to govern the day and the night. And he separated light from darkness. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the fourth day. So you see, God created light on day one. He created plants which need light on day three, and he only created the sun and the moon and the stars on day four. God instituted evening and morning on day one, and on day four he handed responsibility for evening and morning and day and night. He handed responsibility to the sun and the moon. But up until that time, God had governed the day and the night. But on day four, God made two great lights. The greater light, the sun, to govern the day, and the lesser light, the moon, to govern the night. God created light at the beginning, and in fact, God is light. And in John chapter 1, we read, "This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you, God is light, in him there is no darkness at all." And when we say that God is light, we mean, of course, God the Father is light. Jesus, who is God, is light. The Holy Spirit of God is light. And in John's Gospel, the author John refers to Jesus as the Word of God, and he says that creation took place through the Word of God, and that life and light are in him, in Jesus, the Word. In John chapter 1, we read, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." Now, what were people thinking on Wednesday evening as they gazed through their eye protection at the lesser light as it eclipsed the greater light? Did they give glory to God who created both the greater light and the lesser light? Or did they simply gaze into the sky, enjoying the spectacle, assuming that it all came about by chance? Did they worship God, as did the psalmist in Psalm number 8? Or did they deny the existence of God, as does the fool in Psalm number 14? What a contrast there is between the psalmist who worships God and the fool who says that there is no God. Psalm number 8 and verse 1 Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory in the heavens. Through the praise of children and infants, you have established a stronghold against your enemies to silence the foe and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have set in place, what is mankind that you are mindful of them? Human beings, that you care for them. And by way of contrast, in Psalm 14, the fool says in his heart, there is no God. Let's move, please, to our next slide. Light for eternity. And the purpose of this next section is very simple, albeit that it is very profound. What I want to say is this: just as God is light and created light long before he created the sun and the moon and the stars, so too in eternity there will be no need for the sun and the moon, because the Lord God will give us light. Is that amazing? Let's read in Revelation 21, verse 22. I did not see a temple in the city, because the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and the Lamb is its lamp. The nations will walk in its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their splendor into it. On no day will its gates ever be shut, for there will be no night there. The glory and honor of the nations will be brought into it. Nothing impure will ever enter it, nor will anyone who does what is shameful or deceitful, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's book of life. And then moving into chapter 22. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb down the middle of the great street of the city. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be any curse. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants will serve him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. There will be no more night. They will not need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign forever and ever. Amen. Just think of that for a moment. In eternity, we will not need the light of a lamp, nor the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give us light. In eternity, you will not need to put light bulbs on your shopping list when you go to Sainsbury's. There will be no need for a lamp. Let's move to our next slide, please. Jesus is the light. In John's Gospel, the author declares in chapter 1 that Jesus is the light. And then in chapter 8, Jesus declares about himself that he is the light. In John chapter 1, we've already read a few of these verses, but we'll read it now. In John chapter 1, We read, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Referring to Jesus, of course. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. Jesus is the light. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There came a man sent from God whose name was John. This refers, of course, to John the Baptist. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. John the Baptist was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and even though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. So let me ask you this morning, do you believe that Jesus, the Word, is the true light? Let's have a raise of hands if you believe that Jesus is the true light. Thank you. Have you invited him to be the true light in your life? And what about what Jesus says about himself in John chapter 8 and verse 12? Jesus spoke again to the people and he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Do you believe that Jesus is the light of the world? Have you invited him to be the light in your world? Have you invited him to be the light in your life? Let's move to our next slide, please. You are the light. Here's an amazing thing. You know, not only does Jesus say that he is the light of the world, he also says about us, you are the light of the world. Maybe it's easy to accept that Jesus is the light of the world. Maybe it's more of a challenge to accept that he calls us to be the light of the world. In Matthew 5 and verse 14, Jesus says, you are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Jesus, the one who said about himself that he is the light of the world, also says about us that we are the light of the world. But how can that be? How is it possible that we are the light of the world? I would suggest that it is only possible if Jesus is living in us. It is only possible if the light of the world is shining through us. Jesus says, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. So we have to ask, what is the purpose of letting our light shine? So that God may be glorified. So that people will glorify the Father in heaven as a result of seeing the light in us. We must do good deeds so that people may see them and glorify our Father in heaven. Let's move now, please, to our next slide. Walk in the light. And here we have to ask a question: do people naturally walk in the light of God? What do you reckon? No. Is it the default setting of the human heart to walk in the light of God? It is not. And for the human heart to walk in the light of God requires so much more than a software update. It requires a complete rebirth that only Jesus can bring. It is only possible through the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. Only Jesus can transform us from darkness to light. And the prophet Isaiah talks about this transformation from darkness to light at the end of Isaiah chapter 8 and the beginning of chapter 9. And he identifies Jesus in prophetic form as the one who will bring light. So in Isaiah chapter 8 and verse 19, Isaiah the prophet asks a question. He says, when someone tells you to consult mediums and spiritists who whisper and mutter, should not people inquire of their God? Why consult the dead on behalf of the living? Consult God's instruction and the testimony of warning. If anyone does not speak according to this word, they have no light of dawn. Distressed and hungry, they will roam through the land. When they are famished, they will become enraged, and looking upwards, they will curse their king and their God. Then they will look towards the earth and see only distress and darkness and fearful gloom, and they will be thrust into utter darkness. My friends, my brothers, my sisters, do you see the darkness of the world? Do you see the darkness? Jesus came to bring us life and light. Jesus came to set us free from the darkness of the world. Let's read on now into chapter 9 to find out about the light. This is, of course, written in prophetic form. Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who were in distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the future, he will honor Galilee of the nations by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan. And in prophetic format, we have reference to Jesus. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. Of course, it's not enough to see a light. You've got to accept the light. Isaiah is talking about the appearance of Jesus, and he makes this even more clear if we jump ahead to verse 6. For to us, he's talking about the light, and he's saying, for to us, this is the explanation, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given. Talking about the birth, the advent of Jesus. To us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Jesus came to bring us life. Jesus came to bring us light. He came to set us free from the darkness of the world. And Jesus says that we are the light of the world. But here is a question. If we are the light of the world, Does that mean that we automatically operate in the light? Do we automatically walk in the light? Do we automatically think and speak and behave according to the light? I don't think so. And that is why John, in his letter, instructs us to walk in the light. Being in the light is not a passive state. We have to walk in the light. Walking in the light requires intention. Walking in the light requires action. We cannot walk in the light if we are a spiritual couch potato. Let's read what John says in 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 5. This is the message we have heard from him, and we declare to you, God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in darkness, we lie and we do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim that we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word is not in us. God is light, and he created light at the beginning, before he created the sun and the moon. God is light, and he will provide light for eternity without the need for the sun and the moon. Jesus is the light, and he brings light into our lives if we invite him to live in us. And Jesus says that we are the light of the world. But of course, that only really comes to fullness if we actively decide to walk in the light. We must walk in the light just as God is in the light. And if we do, then we will have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus will purify us from all sin. Let's move to our final slide, please. And we are nearly done this morning. But let's just finish with part of Jesus' teaching to Nicodemus as found in John chapter 3, where Jesus says to Nicodemus, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." This verse, of course, is very well known. But move on to the next verses, not so well known. Verse 17, "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son." And this is the verdict. That's not my words, that's what it says in the scripture. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God. Let us live by the truth. Let us come into the light. Amen.